Welcome to Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on AM 1400 WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBEAR 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer, healthier lives. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at QNRReport.com. In the second segment, I will be speaking with County Commissioner nominee Tom Tikkanen, and we did reach out to his opponent, Mr. Eugene Londo, but he has declined our requests. But for now, my guest in this segment is Jim McBride from the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, who is here to talk about state proposal number one that will be on the ballot in the upcoming primary election. Thank you so much, Mr. McBride, for joining me.
Thanks, Sam. Great to be here.
For those who don't know, give us a little background on what Proposal 1 is.
Yeah, so here's the thing, that this is the only statewide proposal that's on the ballot. Locals may have local initiatives, so that is going to vary depending on where you live. But this is the only thing that's a statewide ballot initiative, so it's Proposal 1. And probably the best way to talk about it, at least to begin with, is to actually, if you don't mind, I'd like to read the ballot language, and
yeah,
of course
there's
always a word limit on this, and and so the challenge is to try to encapsulate what the proposal is in just a few words. But here's what it'll say on the ballot when people go in to vote. This, the amendatory act adopted by the legislature would, number one, reduce the state use tax and replace with a local community stabilization share of the tax for the purpose of modernizing the tax system to help small businesses grow and create jobs in Michigan. Two, require local community stabilization authority to provide revenue to local governments dedicated for local purposes, including police safety, fire protection, and ambulance emergency services. Three, increase portion of the state use tax dedicated for aid to local school districts. Four, prohibit authority from increasing taxes. And five, prohibit total use tax rate from exceeding existing constitutional 6% limitation, should this law be approved, yes or no. So that's what voters are going to actually see on the ballot. You know, the thing that, as I've been going around the state talking to folks about this, people ask, well, why doesn't it say anywhere on the ballot language the personal property tax? Here's how I'd answer that question. The legislature, on a bipartisan basis, actually decided this language, and normally it would be left to the Secretary of State to determine what the ballot language is going to be. But in this particular ballot initiative, the state legislature decided it because they felt that if you included the words personal property tax on the ballot initiative, that people would misinterpret or think that it was something about their home, which it's not. Obviously, the personal property tax is a tax on machinery and equipment, so that are in businesses. People, homeowners do not pay the personal property tax. You know, I did my own individual little poll. I started with my wife and talked to friends and family members and asked them what they thought the personal property tax was. And no one had it right. You know, usually something like, well, isn't that the property tax we personally pay on our home?
When I first heard
exactly.
It, that's the first thing I thought. Yeah.
You're in the vast majority, because that's what a lot of people think. And that's why the legislature didn't put those words in the ballot proposal. Instead, what they tried to do is describe what will happen if people pass this. It'll modernize the tax system. It'll help small businesses. It will fully reimburse local governments and provide a little bit of additional money for schools. So that's what it actually does, and that's why they went that route instead of naming the tax, because the very name of the tax is misleading to voters.
Where did the idea come from for this proposal to be brought forward?
Yeah, so we're hearing from businesses throughout the state that the personal property tax is one of the things that is really hurting them from growing, from expanding, from updating their equipment, or in some cases even staying in Michigan. For small businesses, it simply is just a burden. In fact, many small businesses tell us that it costs more money to calculate the personal property tax that they owe than it is to pay it. So that's a problem. Manufacturers which is the part of our economy that is the most what we call footloose in economic development terms, you know, meaning that they can pack up and move to another state very easily. Manufacturers tell us, you know, if we go to Ohio, we go to Indiana or other competitive states, you know, we don't have to pay the personal property tax, and that's correct. They don't have them and have this tax in those states. And so this is something that the legislature was hearing over and over again from businesses in their communities that, you know, this is a tax that had to go. We've made a lot of positive changes here in Michigan in recent years, but this is really one of the last big things we need to do to make our state more competitive than it is. And so that's the why. And the unique thing about this is this was a proposal that was broadly supported by both parties in both chambers of the state legislature. You had all four caucus leaders support this in the House and the Senate and endorse it and go on the record. Governor Snyder's opponent 4 years ago endorsed the proposal, Mayor Virge Bernero in Lansing. So, I mean, you've got strong bipartisan support because everybody's heard this message from the business community that we're just not competitive with the personal property tax. So this is a chance to phase out for two key groups the personal property tax. It doesn't eliminate it altogether, but for small businesses and for manufacturers, it will eliminate or phase out the personal property tax.
Now, this will set up a new tax system. Is there a rough outline of what that tax system would look
like? So let's just talk about these two different types of businesses that are impacted by this. Small businesses, it doesn't matter what type of business it is, as long as their personal property is below $80,000. And that would be about 75% of the businesses in this area. In fact, I was in Dickinson County yesterday and also Delta County doing a similar presentation that I did this morning here in Houghton. And in Dickinson County and Delta, they both told me, yeah, about 75%. That's the number of businesses in those counties that – and they felt throughout pretty much the whole UP – 75% of the businesses would fall under that $80,000 threshold. So it wouldn't matter what type of business it was. It could be a small call center, a headquarters, a restaurant, a hotel, doesn't matter, engineering firm. They don't have to be involved in manufacturing. If they're below $80,000, they would qualify for the exemption and would not pay the personal property tax. They do have to reapply every year because, of course, their situation could change and they could be over $80,000 in a subsequent year. But as long as they're under $80,000, that group would not pay the personal property tax as long as they remember to annually apply. The other big group would be manufacturers. So if you're over $80,000, it's only the only exemption would be for those involved in manufacturing. And those are that's the element that pays the most in personal property because heavy machinery and equipment, the personal property tax is very high on those pieces of equipment. And so we would phase out the personal property tax starting in 2016, ending in 2023, depending on the age of the equipment in that manufacturer. So that's how this works. Other types of companies like a large call center that would be over $80,000, they will continue to pay the personal property tax. So we're not entirely getting rid of it, but for the two elements of our economy, small businesses and manufacturers, we would be eliminating or phasing it out.
When I keep reading about this proposal, I hear about a new essential services assessment on business. Could you go into that a little bit?
Yeah. So the small businesses will not pay the essential services assessment or the ESA, they won't pay it. If you're, again, below $80,000, you apply annually, you don't pay the personal property tax, you also do not pay the ESA. Larger companies that qualify for the manufacturing exemption, they would pay the essential services assessment, which will be calculated based on 20% of what they were paying before under the personal property tax. So it's an 80% cut for the taxes for large manufacturers. So that's a huge savings for them, and it also helps them to pay for the police, fire, ambulance services, schools, operating and debt loss. All of that is made up by two things: dedicating the use tax, a major portion of the use tax for local reimbursement, and also the ESA helps to make up some of that revenue too.
Now, we have the impact on the businesses, the large companies, small companies.
Yep.
There is a group of people who are concerned about the local communities.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about how the impact it will have on the local municipalities.
100% reimbursement. And so that's the reason that we're using the use tax. The use tax is one of the taxes that we have that it's the sales tax on lodging, on telecommunications, and remote purchases. And that's a growth area. All three of those areas are growth areas. If you look at all of the state taxes during the Great Recession, the use tax is the only one that continued to grow. In fact, saw robust growth through the Great Recession. So it's a growth tax. If you think about it, you know, it's a tax on every monthly tax and charge on every phone. Well, people are using a lot more phones now than they used to. Everybody's got a phone. So, and that's one of the reasons that the use tax has seen dramatic growth and will continue to see growth in the future. So we're very comfortable by dedicating a portion of the state use tax and moving that over, creating this new statewide authority in the Department of Treasury, and then reimbursing the locals through that use tax collection. And so the locals will not have to go out and collect the personal property tax for small businesses or for manufacturers like they currently do. What they will simply do is fill out a form with the amount that they've lost due to this proposal, and that goes directly to the Department of Treasury, and Treasury would reimburse the local government at 100%.
So 100%?
100%.
It will be straight back to the local.
Back to the locals. They will not lose anything.
So let's jump to another group, which is, I think you alluded to this earlier, the people, individuals.
Yep.
Is this costing anybody anything?
No, because individuals do not pay the personal property tax. But individuals want to make sure that there are jobs here in Michigan for themselves or for their kids. I know that's one of the concerns families have, raise their kids and send them to school and they get the degree and then they go out and look for a job and they end up having to leave the state. And it's unfortunately the case, and many, many families will say that. So the more we can make sure we've got jobs available to keep our young people here in Michigan, that's going to impact on every family. So this is a very pro-jobs, pro-growth initiative that will really help small businesses and help manufacturers stay in the state.
You're listening to Copper Country Today here with my guest, Jim McBride from the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Now that you break it down, and it seems so positive across the board,
yep.
But the polls, they're not showing anything positive.
Yeah.
What's the reason?
You know, I think this is not a simple proposal, but it's a very well thought out proposal, and it's a very balanced proposal. So again, you know, what the legislature tried to do on a bipartisan basis, working with the governor, was come up with a proposal that would give relief to small businesses, relief to manufacturers, guarantee 100% reimbursement to locals, provide some additional money for schools, and not increase taxes all at the same time. That was their assignment. This is what they came up with. And it's a very balanced approach, but it is complicated. And so basically, people don't understand it fully, and that's one of the reasons that we're out here, and that's one of the reasons we're on the air today. And there is advertising, strong support from groups across the board. You've got local government groups like the Michigan Municipal League endorsing this, Michigan Association of Counties, plus all your business groups. That's no big surprise. But you've also got unions and the AARP, the Detroit Free Press and many others have endorsed this proposal and asking people to vote yes. So as that message gets out, you know, what you really want to look at is the last 2 weeks before the ballot is what's happening, because people don't really pay attention to ballot proposals typically until the last couple of weeks. So I think with all the advertising that's going on, all these groups are contacting their members and asking them to vote yes. You know, that's all going to really start to show up this week and next week, and I'm confident it'll pass.
But when you say it's complicated,
yeah,
what part specifically would you say gives people trouble understanding it?
The questions always come up about, well, what's the ESA or the use? Why are we using the use tax? But again, the reason we're using the use tax is we had to come up with a way to provide a tax break to business without raising a corresponding other tax. Now, people can say, well, but you're creating this ESA. Well, yeah, that's an 80% tax cut for the manufacturer, so that's not really raising a tax. So they're getting an 80% discount on what they're currently paying through the personal property tax by paying the ESA, and small businesses won't pay the ESA at all. So that's no tax increase. That's a tax decrease. The only way that we've been able to do that is because we've got expiring tax credits. The old battery credits and so on are coming off the books in 2016, plus the fact that the use tax has got such robust growth, we're confident that we can dedicate a portion of it and reimburse these costs. That's why we're using the use tax. So, yeah, a little bit complicated, but this will be tremendous for the business community and tremendous for the state if this passes.
From the individuals that you've spoken to, now, there does come a bad stigma from the phrase tax breaks for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like maybe, I mean, I don't want to put words in the voters' mouths,
right,
or anything, but do you think maybe there's just this bad thing where people say, oh, tax breaks for businesses? No matter what it is, don't explain it to me. I'm voting no. Do you think that might have a little bit to do with it?
There'll be some people out there, but again, you know, you've got companies that are, you know, the business groups are supporting this, and labor unions are supporting it, because labor unions understand the company goes, there's no jobs. So that's the key, that if we want to keep jobs here in Michigan, businesses have to be healthy. And other states, again, I can't emphasize this enough, other states have abandoned the personal property tax. And we're one of the last holdouts that are continuing to keep this tax. And especially it hits manufacturers and small businesses. So that's where we've concentrated the relief effort, is on those two groups. And we really believe that this is going to be beneficial, and that's why it got bipartisan support across the board in the Michigan legislature.
Is there a specific reason why it took so long?
You know, the trouble was the assignment was for everybody, how do we give major relief from the personal property tax without raising another tax?
Mm-hmm.
That was the assignment. And they did it. They came up with a plan that does that. And 100% reimburses the locals. Not an easy assignment. But with the leadership of Lieutenant Governor Kelly, working with the Democrats and the Republicans in the Michigan legislature, they came up with this plan, and it's a great plan.
If you could go into how other states, whether it's nearby in the Midwest, how do they tax businesses?
You know, everybody's a little different, every tax system's a little bit different. When we moved to the corporate income tax, we became much more normal in terms of how we tax businesses versus the old Michigan business tax, which was a value-added tax, or the single business tax before that. We were one of the only states that did a value-added tax. So the corporate income tax is very simple, easy for companies to calculate, and it also exempted S-Corps and LLCs, limited liability, from paying the corporate income tax. So a lot of businesses got out of having to pay a business tax at all when we went to the CIT. So as I said, that was humongous tax reform, and that's why we went, you know, if you look at the Tax Foundation and many other groups, our rating went way up. We were used to be rated in the rock bottom because we had a value-added tax, and now we're, you know, depending on who you're talking to, mm-hmm. top 10 or top 15 among the states. What's holding us back now is the fact that we still have the personal property tax. So that's why we're trying to address that. But other states do it differently. But most of them have some sort of a corporate income tax, in some cases local taxes that we don't do here in Michigan, or they rely much more heavily on the sales tax than we do.
You're listening to Copper Country Today, here with my guest, Mr. Jim McBride from the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. You talked a little bit about how bringing in businesses is really going to affect locally, especially in an area like this. Give us a little bit more insight of how big of an impact, especially a place like Houghton.
Yeah, you know, I had breakfast this morning in one of your breakfast restaurants that well known, and stayed in a hotel here last night. And these businesses pay the personal property tax. In both cases, the hotel I stayed at last night and the restaurant I had breakfast in this morning, they would be under the $80,000, and they'd be like 75% of the businesses in this area that would not be over $80,000, so they would qualify, and they would get out of having to pay the personal property tax and not have to pay the essential services assessment. So 75% of your businesses are going to be very, very positively impacted. And on two fronts, they won't have to pay the tax, and they also don't have to calculate the tax, because the cost of calculating it for many of these businesses is just as much, if not higher, than the actual tax they pay, because it's a complicated tax to figure out. Mm-hmm. So 75% of your businesses wouldn't have to pay it. I mean, that's huge for them. And it could make the difference of staying in business or not staying in business in some cases. So it'll be very healthy for the local economy to have this thing pass.
Now, we're a little less than 2 weeks away from the ballot. I understand you're pushing for it. You're pushing for it. Worst case scenario, it gets knocked down. Then what happens?
Well, Senator Casperson was with me yesterday and the audience at Delta County, and you know, I asked him, and you know, he said what I knew pretty much to be the case, that there is no plan B. So this took a lot of time, as you mentioned. You know, it took a while to put this proposal together, and it was delicate balance, and there's not a better proposal out there. There's no plan B, so we're hoping that the voters will vote for this one.
Anything else you would like to add, Mr. McBride?
Well, I just think that, you know, again, this does have the endorsement of all your chambers in the state, or all your big chambers, the Michigan Manufacturers Association, Michigan Small Business Association, newspapers across the state, the AARP, the Michigan Municipal League, Michigan Association of Counties, Michigan Association of School Boards. You know, the list goes on and on and on, and that's just some of the highlights, strongly supported by all these groups, because they know what went into this, and they know that it's a tax we got to move on from, and this is a great way to solve it, and a balanced approach for reimbursing local governments, and also providing additional money for schools. So it's a great proposal.
Well, that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. I'd like to thank my guest, Mr. Jim McBride, for coming in and shedding some light on a very important ballot proposal.
Thanks so much.
Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer, healthier lives. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at QNRReport.com. We'll be right back with the second segment of Copper Country Today.